We begin the Karan Daf Masechet Eiv and Daf Nun Dalad. Begin 4 lines up in the top of the Yamed, and our Gemara continues the theme of the previous Daf, and basically the entire Daf speaks about this idea about how to retain one's learning the words of Torah. So our Gemara begins, Tana, we learned, Talmud Echad Hoyil Reb Eliezer. There was one student that Reb Eliezer had, that he used to learn quietly, he used to learn, whisper to himself. After 3 years, he forgot all his learning, similar to what the Gemara was brought on the previous staff, on the bottom, which continued on to the top, that they were told that you can't learn quietly, you have to get your entire body into it, you have to get into Torah, and only then will you retain your learning. So Tana, we learned, Talmud Echad Hoyil Reb Eliezer, there was one student that Reb Eliezer had, Shenischai B'Sreifa L'Makim. So it's similar to as the previous teaching, which there was this one student Reb Eliezer had, but this one was liable to be burnt because of the punishment that he deserved, what he did to Hashem. Amr, they said, Hinichulai, leave him alone, Sha'adim Gadol Shemesh, because he has served a great man, Reb Eliezer. So having a great teacher has some merit in that although he deserved to be burnt, but however, he was speared because of his great teacher. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shinin a sharp one, Pasach Pumach Kari. Again, similar along the same lines as the previous Gemara, is that a person can't just whisper, you have to get into your learning, you have to verbalize it, you have to say it out loud. So he said, open up your mouth and speak, and learn Mikro, that's Kari, learn Chumash. Pasach Pumach Tami, and open up your mouth and learn the words of the Mishnah. So that it should last by you, and that you'll live a long time. Like it says a pasuk in Mishlei, that we find that a person has to verbalize the words that he's learning. It says, so it says regarding the words of Torah, that they are life for the ones that find them. And that will be healing for his entire flesh. Now the Gemara says, don't read it for those who find the words of Torah, Ela lemoitzi ehem, rather for those that express them. That it depends on the nekudos and how you have put the vowels. But the idea is you can read the word not for those who find them, but rather for those who express them bepeh, with their mouth. So again, you see the same idea: that a person should verbalize his learning, and then he'll retain it. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, and of course, it's going to be also that he's going to get chayim, like the pasuk says, and therefore you're not only going to retain your learning, but you're also going to live a long time. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, again, as he's told him something before also, he used to call him sharp one. He says, Chatoif ve'choil, grab and eat. And that is, if you have a lot of money, that you can enjoy yourself. He says, don't wait till tomorrow, because you might die and you're not going to have any pleasure out of it. And obviously, this not only goes on a physical level, but it goes on a spiritual level too also. Chatoif ve'ishti, grab and drink. The alma does lean him in it, because the world that we're going through, kihilul dami. It's like a chasna, it's like a wedding, and that is today it's here, tomorrow it's gone. So too, like by a chuppah, where it goes very quickly. So although the pleasure is very intense, and it takes a long time in the preparations, but before you blink, it's over, same thing about this world. Grab and eat, because whatever you're going to get now is limited time, and afterwards it's over. Similarly, Amalei Rav L'Rav Nuna, B'ni, my son, Im Yesh Lecha, if you have, meaning you have money, Hey Tevlach, so enjoy it. She'ain b'shal tainig, because there is no pleasure in the grave. Ve'ein l'mavas his mameya, and there is no delay in death. In other words, you could die suddenly. So enjoy what you have right now. Don't push off it till tomorrow. Again, obviously, hana includes physical, spiritual, emotional, but enjoy what you have, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might just die. And if you're going to say, wait, I don't want to use everything and enjoy what I have. I want to put away, because I want to put away for my children to have food after I pass away. B'shalom yagilach. In the grave, who's going to tell you? In other words, how do you know that they're going to retain their money? They might lose it. So what's the point of leaving it for your sons? Go ahead. You can give it to them now, but use what you have right now. It's a gift. And he continued. He said, B'nei ha'adam doimin le'isvi ha'sada. People are compared to blades of grass in the field, which is halalum noititzin. You have at the same time, you have those that are growing and blossoming. And what it means is that you have those that are growing. Now, together with their growth comes what's necessary for them, their parnasa and their wealth. And therefore, the same would be equivalent in people. And that is that they don't need you to worry about them. They'll have what's necessary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all the blades of the grass. And they grow and they have what it needs. And these wither and die. So too, you will be naival, you can wither and die, but there's no point in saving it for your sons, because they will be nights and they will have what's necessary for them. So again, so enjoy what you have right now. So now the Gemara continues with a different idea, which throughout the Hemshech will come, that the Pasuk, one of the Pasukim we just mentioned, will come back again. Amr Shu ben Levi, If someone's going on the road and he has no one escorting him, he's going by himself. So Yasik Batari should toil in the words of Torah, because going by oneself is a danger on many different levels. So you should toil in the words of Torah. Shnemak, it says the pasuk in Mishlei, ki livyas cheinhem, because they are an accompaniment of grace. And therefore you see that regarding the words of Torah, that's levaya, that's like, it's an accompaniment. So if you need something to be with you, be toiling in the words of Torah. Moreover, chash b'roshay, if someone feels something in his head, something that's bothering or might be dangerous, Yasik Batari should toil in the words of Torah. Shnema, like it says in the pasuk, in that same pasuk, ki livyas cheinhem l'reishecha, because they're an accompaniment of grace for your head. And therefore, if you have something that's bothersome, that's you're feeling in your head, so then you should learn the words of Torah. Chash b'groin, if you feel something in your throat, Yasik Batari should toil in the words of Torah. Shnema, like it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, v'anokim l'gargareisecha, that they are like necklaces for your throat. So you see that the gargar, the throat, the words of Torah are there for that also. Chosh b'meir, if you feel something in your intestines, in your stomach, Yasik b'Torah, you should toil in the words of Torah. Shlomo, like it says in Pasuk in Mishlei, Rifus tehi l'sharecha, that will be healing for your navel. And therefore you see again that even in your navel area, if you want a healing, again, those are the words of Torah. Chosh b'atzmoisu, if you feel something in your bones, Yasik b'Torah, you should toil in the words of Torah. Shlomo, like it says in the Pasuk over there, v'shiku l'atzmoisecha, and they are like marrow to your bones. So again, for everything, every type of ailment, illness, the words of Torah. Chash b'chol gufoi, you feel something in your whole entire body, Yasik b'Torah, you should toil in the words of Torah. Shnem, like it says within the pasuk, which was the pasuk that we had mentioned before and why we brought in this Gemara, or l'chol b'sori marpe, and for his entire flesh will be healing. And therefore, ultimately, if anyone has anything that he's feeling, chash b'roshoi, batz moisav, in his whole entire body, the Gemara tells us is Yasik b'Torah. Another chiddush in that same pasuk we just brought, Amar Rav Yehuda ber Abchia, Boire, come and see. Shloi ki midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very different than the flesh and blood. Midas basav adam, because you find by a flesh and blood, which would be, let's say, like by a doctor, Adam noisen sam l'chaver, a person gives a medicine, a potion to his friend. Now, l'zeh yafa, it's good for this thing, for this type of ailment, but l'zeh kosha, but it's harsh and harmful for this sickness. In other words, it's good for the heart, but it's bad for the eyes. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. Nosen Torah l'Yisrael, he gave the Torah to Klai Yisrael, sam chayim l'chol guvoy. It's a potion of life for his entire body. Shnei, like it says in the pasuk, ulechol basari marpe, and for his whole entire flesh it'll be healing. So this is something that can be used across the board for whatever ailment the person has. Now Gemara goes back to what we were mentioning before regarding chazara and retaining one's learning. Amar Reb Ami, Ma'adik said, what does it mean in the pasuk in Mishlei when it says kinoyim, that when it's sweet, ki tishmerim bebit necha, when you will retain it, when you will watch it in your stomach, yichaynu yachd vasvasecha, that it will be set together on your lips. What does that mean? So it's a reference to Divrei Torah. Emesai Divrei Torah Ne'im. When are the words of Torah sweet? Bizman shetishim bevet necha. When it will be watched and protected in your stomach. That means it's something that you'll retain, that you won't forget. If it's something that you remember, so then it's something that's sweet. You constantly recall it. If you don't, it's not sweet. Now ve'emesai tishim bevet necha. Now you want the words of Torah to be sweet by you by recalling it. Now when will it be shomer in your stomach that you'll retain it? Bizman shechenu yach tavas vasecha. That when they will be prepared, set on your lips. That means you will constantly be preparing it and verbalizing with your mouth, and you're not going to be stumbling over the words that you're saying. And by whispering it, rather you'll be articulate and you'll verbalize it. That will help a person to retain his learning. So now the Gemara continues regarding different sources for this idea about the sweetness of Torah when you review it, and that chazara helps you remember your learning. Reb Zera brings a different source for this. A pasuk of Mishlei, it says, Simcha le'ish, happiness for a man is b'manifiv, with the words that come out of his mouth, and the thing in its proper time, matoiv, how good is that? Now the drush is imosai simcha l'ish. When is there joy for a man? And that is, in other words, when do we say that a person is happy with his learning? That bizman shemana befif. That's when he has the words in his mouth. In other words, when he has what to say. When people ask him a dvar halacha, that's like what the pasuk before had said, that then the person is happy with his learning if he remembers it and people ask him and he has what to say. Lashon Acha, different version is, and how to interpret this pasuk regarding the topic that we're talking about. It must say simcha le'ish b'manifiv. When is a person happy with the words that have come out of his mouth? That's as the end of the pasuk says, "Bizman shadava beitam atav." That's when something to say in this proper time. How good? That means to say, for example, if let's say it's Sukkot's time and you have what to say, a vart or a halacha on Sukkot or whatever it is that the topic that's being spoken about at that time, you have what to talk about to lecture. That's appreciated by a person. That's davar be'itam atav. That's at a good time. Then you appreciate what you have to say, and therefore that's going to what make a person happy with his learning. And therefore, a person has to constantly be reviewing and be there at the time of what's being discussed. That a person keeps on reviewing, and that's why there's a halacha related to that. A person has to review the halachas of Yom Tov 30 days before and on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yitzchak Mahalach. Rabbi Yitzchak brings a difference to us from pasuk in Devarim. Because this thing is very, very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Now the explanation is, it must say karvelecha. When are the words of Torah very close to you? That's bizman shebeficha ubavavcha lasaisa. That's when it's in your mouth and in your heart to do it. So therefore, again, we see the same idea. A person should articulate, review, say it out loud. These are the things that help a person retain his learning. Rava amar mahalcha. Rava brings a different source. A pasuk in Tehillim. That says, Tavas libo nasatale, the desire of his heart, Hashem, you have given to him. The Aresha Safas of Bamanatasela, and the movements, so to speak, the speech of his lips, you have never held back from him forever. Now the explanation is, Emosai Tavas libo nasatale. When is it that you have given him the desire of his heart, which is obviously the quest of spirituality of Torah? Bismancha Aresha Safas of Bamanatasela. And that's at the time when the movements of his lip you have never held back. Again, that's the same idea that when you have given him the knowledge to verbalize what he has, that's when the person gets what his heart's desires. And again, that's the same idea. A person should be speaking out his words of Torah. So related to this pasuk, the Gemara says that Rava posed a contradiction in the pasuk itself. On the one hand, Ksiv Tavas Liba Nesatli says you have given him the desire of his heart, which means silent. That's just there inside of him. He hasn't verbalized it. Yet Uchsiv, it says at the end of the pasuk, "Va'aresha sefasa b'manatasela," that the movements of his lips you have never held back from him. So which one is it? Is it in his heart and he didn't have to say it, or does he have to say it and only then do you give it to him? And then he says it depends. Zacha, if the person merits, that is, if, as Rashi says, a person has mazel tov, he has good mazel. So then tavas liba nesatelei, then the desires of his heart you have given to him, and that is you have given to him his desire. Before he even asked for it, he doesn't have to ask for it. That's a person that merits with his mazel. Loi zacha, if he doesn't merit, that is, he has to wait and he has to be mitzar, he really wants this, but he has to go through a whole process. Then, such a person that doesn't merit, then, regarding the movements of his lips, that you have never held back from him, then such a person has to actually verbalize and speak to Hashem and ask from Hashem. But then, if a person actually does, Hashem will not hold back from such a person. So related to this word that the pasuk ended with, this word selah, the Gemara says, "Tanu be'er b'lozer ben Yaakov." Kol makom shenemar, one of these three words, netzach, selah, vo'ed, ein lo yhafsek olamos. This is something that will never end. It's eternal. Netzach, dechsev, how do we know netzach? It says a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, "Ki lo yla olam arv," because I will not forever contend, v'lo yla netzach ektsev, and not for netzach will I get upset. Now, from the fact that we see in the pasuk the word netzach, parallel to Olam, it's saying the same idea and it uses Olam and Netzach, so you see that just like Olam means forever, Netzach also means forever. What do we know, Sela? The Chassid, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, Kasher Shemanu Kein Re'inu, just like we heard, so too we saw, Be'er Hashem Tzavakas, in the city of Hashem Tzavakas, Be'er Lekeinu, in the city of our God, Elekimicha Nenead Olam Sela, that God has said it forever. Sela, again, the same idea that we see that Sela means Le'olam, it means eternal, just like we see that it's used in the parallel sense of Olam. And what do we know about Ed? The Chsev Hashem Yimloich Le'olam, that Hashem will be the king forever. Ed. Again, so we see the same idea that it's enforcing, that same idea that it's eternal. There is no stop for that whatsoever. Now the Gemara continues on. Simon, a mnemonic to remember the statements that are going to come. As a matter of fact, interestingly, our Gemara will speak about this idea, about creating mnemonics of the statements or of the Talmid Chacham that said those statements, are Anakim, L'chayev, Luchis, and Charis. So the Gemara begins. I'm Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says, and we're going to have a few statements from Rebbe Lazar. Ma'idich said, what does it mean the Pasuk in Mishlei that was mentioned before? V'anakim l'gargar esecha, that they are like necklaces for a person's throat. So he learns all these psukim that he's going to quote regarding the person that's learned the Torah himself. imesim adam atzmi ka'anigzeh. If a person makes himself like a necklace, what does that mean? Shiruf ala tzaver, which is loose around the neck, that it's not so tight around the neck, rather it has to be a little bit loose. That's the way it would be pleasant to be wearing a necklace, because or else it's not very comfortable to wear such a necklace. So if a person makes himself like a necklace which is loose around the neck, which is v'nira v'einanira, and he's seen and not seen, and that is when he picks up his neck, so then you see the necklace under the chin. But generally, if the chin is down, you don't necessarily see the necklace. The necklace is concealed. So to a Talmud Chacham, that he shouldn't be running around, coming in the marketplace. He's not somebody that's visible. Sometimes he has to. He goes out, he buys something. But he's sitting and he's reviewing his learning. Such a type of person that he's like a necklace. That again, that since it's loose and therefore you don't really see it, it's concealed behind the chin, or if it's a man, behind the beard. Then tamud miskambiyadi, then his learning he'll retain in his hand. Vimlav in tamud miskambiyadi, and if not, his learning will not be retained. That's the same idea, that it's important that a person has to be like the necklace, which sometimes you see, sometimes you don't, but it generally, if the person's not picking up their chin, they're concealed under the person's body, and therefore that's how a person will retain his learning. Vamir Blaza, another statement from Blaza. Ma'adich said, what does it mean the pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Again, another allusion to the words of Torah. L'chayav, his cheeks are karugas abaisim, are like a bed of spices. Now, what does that mean? So, obviously, on the simple pshat, it would mean regarding possible color. But here, he makes a drasha. Imesim adam atzme karugazu. If a person makes himself like this bed of spices, like this row, which is shakol dashimba, that everybody threshes, everybody steps on it. In other words, that he doesn't have any gaiva. He's just a very humble person. And then another element is ukabaisimze. So not only is it a row of something, but it's a row of spices. Just like spices, shakol misbasminba, that everybody uses the spices, this perfume, to make themselves smell good, which in the equivalent of this case would be that he teaches Torah to others, that what he has, others use for themselves. Tamud miskayim, then his learning will be retained. Vimlav, in tamud miskayim. So there's these two elements that a person has to be humble and he has to be teaching his words of Torah to others. Vamar Balaza, another statement from Balaza is, Ma'idach said, what does it mean the pasuk in Shemais? Luches Evan, the tablets of stone. And again, all these drashas is comparing the words of Torah to the person, because on some level, the person and the Torah are one. And therefore, all these different elements that it's speaking about the Torah, a person has to integrate into himself. So what does it mean that the Torah, the famous luches that Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Har Sinai, were the tablets of stone? So his drasha is, im adam mesim atzmai, if a person makes himself, which means es l'chayev, his cheeks, which is what he's saying from the word of luches, which is related to the word l'chayev, ke'evan zu, like this stone, what does that mean? How does he make his cheeks like stone? She'en enimches, that they don't get dissolved. In other words, because people constantly step on the rock is not going to just crush under the weight of the people. So that this person's cheeks will not be dissolved by the fact that he constantly is reviewing his learning and teaching to others. Then if a person makes his cheeks, which are the vehicle for learning the words of Torah and speaking and telling people over again the pshat, then tamud miskamiyod, then his learning is retained by himself. Vimlav, in tamud miskamiyod, if not, he will not retain the words of Torah. Again, he doesn't have the elements of what the Torah is, which requires to be like that stone that constantly again and again and not wearing out. Vamar Blazin, Rabbi Blazin says, Ma'idach siv, what does it mean the pasuk in Shemais, charus al haluches? It says that the words of the Torah were engraved on the tablets. Now, what does that mean, again, in regards to the people, in regards to the words of Torah? So, il mali li nishtabru luches rishaynis. Had it been that the first luches, the first tablets were not broken, which they were, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, they saw that they were doing the avodah zarah of the egel azav, he broke it. Had they not been broken, then lo nishtachad Torah miyisrael, then the words of Torah would never have been forgotten from the Jewish people. Now, why is that? As Rashi explains, because the word charus, it means engraved. Now, you cannot erase engraving. It's not something external that's added on that you can take it away. It's in the stone itself. So therefore, through the luchais, the Torah would have been engraved, and that would have been for the Klal Yisrael, that there would have been engraved on their hearts, that they would never have forgotten the words of Torah. And that's what it means, that it was charus al haluchis. The word al could also be interpreted because. That is, because of the words of the luchais, it would have been that the Bnei Yisrael would never have forgotten the words of the Torah. That's one interpretation. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, he says a different interpretation of this pasuk of charus al haluchis. He says, in kol umu v'loshin sheletzpem, had it been that the words of the first luchais would not have been broken, we would have had those special characteristics of the first luchais, that there would not have been any nation or language that would have been able to rule over the Jewish people. Shnema charis, because it says in the pasuk charis. Now, although it means engraved, al tikri charis elecheris. If you use a different nekudais, that comes out. Rather, it means freedom. That it means charis al haluchas means that they were cheris, they were free. Again, al could mean bishvil, because of the tablets, the Jewish people would have been free men, and no nation would ever have been able to rule over the Jewish people. Rav Nasna says, Ma'adr said, what does it mean the pasuk about midbar? Ome midbar matana. This is talking about the different masois, the travels that the Jewish people went through. So it delineates all the places they went to. And it says they went from the desert to matana, which is a locale. It's a place. But now here the Gemara gives a drasha, what that means to say. If a person makes himself like this desert, which is shakol doshen, by that everybody steps on, it's free, there's nothing, everyone's just stepping all over it, so too this person is humble, then the words of Torah will be retained by himself, which means to say that midbar matana means if he makes himself like the midbar, then the Torah will be given to him like a matana, and then he won't forget his learning. If not, if he doesn't make himself humble like the words of the like the midbar, to give himself that everyone has a part in that and he doesn't hold himself greater than them, then he will not retain his learning. Now the Gemara brings a story that through that discussion will come up a similar drush in that same pasuk. Rabbi Rav Yosef bar Chama, Havali Milsel Rav Yosef Bade, he had something, some type of altercation with Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef was upset at him. So when he came every Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, so Rava said to himself, let me go in and appease him, you know, to Rabbi Yosef. So also Ashkechi L'Shamei the Kamazig Le'Kisa. So he saw, and he came and he saw the attendant of Rabbi Yosef was diluting for him a cup of wine in water. And that's what they used to do. They used to have hard wine. They used to dilute it with water. So Amalei Havli Ve'Amzigando. So he told the attendant, hey, give it to me. Let me dilute it. For Rabbi Yosef. So Yavle, so the attendant gave it to him. Mazge, he diluted it. Kiditaime Amar, so when Rabbi Yosef tasted it, he said, Dami hai meziga le meziga de Rava, b'reid Rabbi Yosef b'racham. He says, wait a second, I taste something over here. This tastes like the way that Rava would dilute the wine. And what's going on over here is that Rabbi Yosef was blind, and he wasn't able to see. But he recognized the taste of the wine, that it was diluted. And the reason was because Rabbi Yosef recognized the way Rava used to do it originally, because Rava was very proficient. He knew how to give exacting types. So he realized, wait a second, this tastes like the way Rava would do it. So Amalei Anahu, Rava said, this is me. I'm here. I did it for you. So Amalei, like Tesev Akarach, Ad Mefarsh Lihanikris. He says, don't sit down until you explain to me these psukim. Ma'adich said, what does it mean, the pasuk, which is the pasuk that we had quoted before? But now he quotes the entire all the verses over there. It says, midbar matana, that from midbar they went to matana, matana nachliel, from there they went to nachliel, nachliel bamis, and from nachliel they went to bamis, bamis agai, and from bamis they went to the valley. What is this? Although these are locations, but there's something here, deeper meaning. So Amalei said to him, it says follows, if a person makes himself like this desert, that's the midbar, shakol doshim, but that everybody steps on it, Torah nitnalei b'matana, then he'll get Torah like a matana. That's the next step. Now, v'kivin shenitnalei b'matana, now once he gets the words of Torah like a gift that he doesn't get his learning, necholei kel. So then God gives it to him like an inheritance. Shenema umi matana nachliel. That's what it says, that after the gift comes the nachliel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to him as a nachla, as an inheritance. Now, v'kivin shenachlei el, now once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him the words of Torah as inheritance, oilu l'gdula, he gets elevated to greatness. Shnema, like it says, from Nachliel Bamis, and then from Nachliel, again, which is Nachol Ekel, he gets Bamis, which are the heights. It gets great. However, v'megis libay, if he makes himself haughty, he gets all proud of himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meshpil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will take him down. Shnema, like it says, Nepasig umi Bamis hagei, and then from the heights comes the valley. However, v'mchazer bay, if he does tshuva, if he repents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him back up. Shnema, like it says, a pasig in Yeshaya, all those in the valley will be elevated now. Oh, again, although this is not part of that those psukim, however, he makes that drush to say that whoever comes to the gate to the valley that was brought down, he can ultimately go back up and be elevated. And that is, if a person does tshuva and realizes his humility, his what he really is, and it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him back up. So on this topic, the Gemara brings Amar Rav Huna. Magdalene said, what does it mean the pasuk in Tehillim? Chayascha yashvuvah. Your wild animals have settled over there. Tachim b'tayfas chala'ani, you have prepared with your goodness to the pauper Elikim, O God. What does this pasuk mean? So, im adam meisim asmi kichayezu. If a person makes himself like this wild animal, what does that mean? Shadiresis vaychelis, that it pounces and it eats. And that is, it eats right away after it kills. In other words, it's not particular about how things are delicacies and prepared. He eats raw meat. And also regarding all the delicacies, he's not into this stuff. He's just into what he has to do. He just has to get on. He needs his food. So too, this person just has to get his food. And that's it. He goes on, he continues learning. Those that say it a little different, shemasreches vaychelis, that he gets all filthy and he eats. In other words, he doesn't care for doing things properly with etiquette. It, to say that, ooh, this food is disgusting, it wasn't cooked as it's supposed to be, he doesn't care, it's filthy, he eats it up, and he goes on, he eats what he has to. Then Talmudim is Kambiyadi, then he will retain his learning, because that's it, he does what he has to, he doesn't waste time in on these things, he gets back to his learning. Vemlav, if not, in Talmudim is Kambiyadi, if not, if he's all into these types of things, and how it's prepared, and it has to be exact, then he will not retain the words of Torah. However, Rashi brings a different pshat. And this is Rashi's preferred pshat, that he says, when it says shadiresh is vaychelis, that he pounces and eats, it's like a metaphor. It means that after the animal kills its prey, then it eats it right away. But it's two stages. So too, a Talmud Chacham, he reviews his learning right away after he got what he learned from his rabbi. So it's the same thing. You got the prey. It comes to you. You heard the teaching from your rabbi. Right away, go ahead and integrate it, internalize it. So to review your learning right away so you don't forget it. And when it's said that it was masrachas vaychelis, that it's filthy and eats, it means if a person makes himself filthy, it doesn't really mean a physical form, but on the words of Torah, that he degrades himself like a nevela. You know, Torah is the most important. Who am I in the words of Torah? Then the person will acquire the words of Torah. Rashi says he likes this pshat because, to the contrary, we find throughout Shas that the custom of Talmid Chacham are to be particular about their food. It should be prepared nicely, with covered, and regarding their clothing. There's a pasuk that the Gemara had even spoken about, a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "L'masane ahava mavas," that for those who cause me to be hated, they love death. A Talmid Chacham has to be dressed properly, and he has to eat with etiquette and property. Therefore, Rashi says he prefers the other pshat. It's a metaphor for the words of Torah that a person should be reviewing his learning. And as we had spoken about regarding all these sugyas, That's the idea. A person has to review his learning. That would mean the rest is vaychelis. He right away goes ahead and internalizes what he was given. And then Isaac came, then the Gemara concludes, if he does this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisle su d'batzmin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will make for him a festive meal. Like it says in the pasuk, over there it ends, tochen b'tevaschu, you have prepared with your goodness, la'ani, for the pauper. Now, these are based on these two pshatim that Rashi brought. Either means to say that he makes himself like a poor person, that he just eats what he has. Or according to the other version that Rashi preferred, is that he makes himself like a poor person regarding his knowledge, to review it, that he's like an ani. And then this topic is what the Gemara will continue right now regarding this idea about Chazara, which that's what Rashi says, that is Deiresis Vaychelis. He reviews it to internalize it right away. He considers himself like an Ani, Elikim, oh God, that is, you give for this person what he needs. If he considers himself like an Ani, that he has to review, and he doesn't think he's so great, and therefore such a person will get the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll retain his learning. On this same theme about reviewing one's learning, the Gemara says, "Ma'idach siv." What does it mean? The pasuk in Mishlei, "Noitzer te'ena," the one who guards the fig tree, "Yechel per," you will eat its fruit. So, "Lama nimshlo dibri Torah kite'ena." Why are the words of Torah compared to a fig tree? So it's this corollary that "Ma te'ena zu," just like this fig tree, and we continue on to Amud Beis, which is unique. That calls mancha adam and mashmishba. That every time a person feels around in the fig tree, "Noitzer be'te'ena," he'll find figs. And that is, as Rashi explains, because they don't ripen at the same time. Rather, today a little bit, tomorrow a little bit, and every time you go, you find something to eat after your Torah. So to the words of Torah. Because mancha adam hoigimahen, every time a person thinks about the words of Torah, mitzvah ben tam, he finds a flavor. There's always something there that you'll be finding if you feel around, even the same tree, the same words of Torah, you'll always get a flavor, you'll always get something new over there. Similarly, the Gemara says, Ramashum manachmeni. Mandach said, what does it mean the pasuk in Mishlei? Ayelas ahavim, a beloved hind, that's a type of an animal, the yalas chain, and it refuses charm, and the etc. The Gemara will explain the entire pasuk, which is, lama nimshul divri Torah la ayelas, why are the words of Torah compared to this hind? Leimelcha, to tell you, ma ayela, just like this ayela, rach matzar, has a narrow womb, and therefore, v'chaviva al boyela kol shah v'shah, kishur v'shayna, so therefore she's beloved to her mate, every moment, like the first moment, is she retains the same status she had when they first met. After every Torah, so to the words of Torah. Chavivin alam dein kol shav v'shav k'shav rishayna. She is beloved, the words of Torah, on those who learn her every moment like the first moment. It has the same pleasure that it is in the first time as every single time for those who learn Torah. Then the pasuk continued, v'yalaschein, and she infuses charm, which in the corollary to the words of Torah, shemalaschein alam deo, that she infuses charm on those who learn her. For those who learn Torah, everyone elevates the Talmud Chacham. His Torah gives him charm. He has something that changes him. That's what Torah does to a person. Then the pasuk continues, Dadeha yervucha b'chal eis. Her breast shall satisfy you at all times. Now, lama nimshal dibri Torah ledad. Now, why are the words of Torah compared to a breast? So, ma dad zed, just like this breast, kos man chat tinik mimash mishbay. Every time that the child feels around there by the mother's breast, maitze b'chal, he'll find milk there. And that is because he actually stimulates for the milk to come out. After every Torah, so to the words of Torah. Because mantra adam hoigibahen, every time a person thinks about the words of Torah, maitzben tam, he finds flavor again. He also stimulates for that to come. There's an endless stream for the one that toils in the words of Torah. So the pasuk over there continues and says, Bahavasa tishke tamid, that in her love, he will constantly be insane. Now, what that means is that because of her love, he's going to make himself like someone insane and like a foolish person. He'll do things that are not normal because of his love for her. So too, the explanation here is that someone, for the words of Torah, he'll leave everything that he has to do and he's going to run to the Beis Medrash, to Dvar Halacha, because the words of Torah just goes crazy over it and he forgets all the things that he has to do that are relevant for him in his physical world. And as the Gemara says, Kegon Yerbalazim ben Pedas. That what? Amr Lav al Rabbalazim Shahya Yeshiva Isik Bat Torah. They said about him that he was sitting and learning Torah, Bishuk Hatachtin Shal Tzipori, in the lower marketplace of Tzipori, and Bisadine, where was his cloak? Mutul Bishuk HaElyon Shal Tzipori. It was there in the upper marketplace of Tzipori. In other words, he like would just, because you go crazy over the words of Torah, you forget what you're doing, and he left it, would leave his cloak there, and he'd be learning down there. So interestingly, the Gemara says that Amr Yisrael ben Elazar, one time a person came to take his cloak. Look at him, this Talmud Chacham, he's down there and his coat is there. I'm just going to take it. But he found the snake. In other words, don't think that because he looks spaced out or whatever that things are not going to go for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over him. He's doing what his beloved wants from him. That's the Ahava HaMakakel Sashura. Although he's involved in learning, his coat is there, Hashem is watching him. So the Gemara continues, Tanu Debei Rav Anan. What does it mean the pasuk and shaved him? Those who ride white donkeys, yeshvi al midden, that they sit in on judgment, v'holcha al derech, and they go on the road, sichu, they will speak. What is this a reference to? So the Gemara gives a drasha. Reichve asayin is those who ride the donkeys. Eilu tamil chacham. These are the Talmudic scholars. Now, why are they riding donkeys? Shemahalchen me earlier, because they go from city to city, umadin l'madina, from country to country, l'matar, to learn the words of Torah. They're constantly going into different places to get more and deeper insights in the words of Torah. Tzachiris, when it says white, that's also a reference to them. Sha'isin oisek tzarem, because they make the words of Torah like the noonday sun. That's why it's called white. Yeshra midin, that they sit in on judgment. Shadana din emes lamita, because they judge true judgment. V'holche, and they go, ilabal and mikra, these are the ones who learn chumash. Al derech, on the road, ilabal and mishnah, these are the ones who learn mishnais. Sichu, when it says that they talk, Elu Bali Talmud, these are those who learn Gemara Talmud, Shekol Sichas in every Torah, because all their speech, even their idle type of chatter, so to speak, are words of Torah, that if you learn the Gemara, it has to be that it becomes from your vernacular, it's everything that you're talking about and speaking about are the words of Torah. Now the Gemara continues on this theme about, again, learning slowly but surely, reviewing, constantly, getting the fundamentals of Torah. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Shizmi, Mishumer, B'lazer ben Azariah. May I just say, what does it mean in Pasuk in Mishlei? Lo yachrich, he will not roast, remiyat seidoi, his catch of deceit. So what does that mean? It means lo yichyeh, he will not live, lo yarchem, he won't have lengthy days, which is the bridge version, the acronym of yachrich is yichyeh and yarich. That means he won't live and he won't have lengthy days. Who is this? Who's lo yachrich? That's Tzayit HaRamai, the deceitful hunter. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains, it means regarding a person that's constantly learning more and more, but he doesn't review his learning. So he's constantly trapping new things, but if he doesn't go ahead and roast it, so he won't have roast. So although he's catching more and more, it's not going to be anything for him. So too over here, that he won't be yichi yarech yom, this type of person that's a rama. He's a faker because he's not really becoming a Talmud Chacham. Although he's learning more, if you don't review, you don't have anything. Rav Sheshet says, he says, that's not a Ramai, someone that does that. Rather, he's a fool. So rather, what does the pasuk mean? Tzayid ha-Ramai yachach. It means to say that the deceitful hunter, this he will roast the meat, which basically it's saying it like in a wonder. In other words, lo yachrich, that such a person will not roast if he's a deceitful catcher, which means to say that if somebody that learns slowly but surely, so he's cunning, and he will be yachrich, he will retain his learning like this hunter who has to be a ramai, he has to be sneaky and cunning. So to this type of person, lo yachrich, he won't roast it. Of course, he will roast it if he's a cunning catcher, if he's a hunter. As the Gemara explains, Kiyas Rav Dimi Amrei says, in explanation of the pasuk, it's mashal letzayid, it's a metaphor, it's an analogy of a hunter. Shetzatzi parm, that catches birds. Im rishon mishaber kanafav, if every single one, when they come along, he breaks their wings, mishtamra, then he retains it. In other words, everyone that comes, he breaks the wing, and that's considered trapped, so that they can't run away, and then they could go ahead and roast the birds, and they could eat it. But the idea is, if you're constantly catching, you're not going to have anything. But if you catch it, it's going to run away. So you break it, you have it, then you can catch more. But then you could also roast what you have, and you could continuously be doing. You could be growing, meaning getting more, and also be reviewing, because you did something that's putting into effect that you'll retain what you have, which means breaking the wings. And regards to words of Torah, it means reviewing the words of Torah. Vimlav, Eimashtam, if you don't do that, you will not retain the words of Torah. Similarly, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amrav Schayru, Amrav Huna. Maidich said, what does it mean that it says in the Pasuk of Mishlei, Hoin mehevel yimut, that wealth from vanity will be diminished, the kovitz al yad yarba, that someone that gathers by hand will increase. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, that in relation to what we're discussing regarding learning Torah, im isa adam teiras chavilas chavilas, if a person makes his Torah into bundles, and that's what the word of the pasuk is, mehevel, the word hay and ches are many times interchanged, to say that if a person makes his wealth, if it's coming from hevel, which is chavilas, from bundles, then yimut, then it's going to be, as the Gemara says, mismait. And the reason is because you're biting off more than you can chew. You're going to be learning too much that you can't review. Vimla, but if not, and rather as the pasuk ends, koibitz al yad, you're going to be gathering by hand, meaning slowly but surely, you can take little bit by little bit, then yarba, then he's going to increase, that's going to increase his learning, because he's going to be able to learn, and chazer his learning. So amarava, what it means is, yadi rabbanon loham milsa, Vavila, the Rabbanan know really what they understand this pasuk, but they anyways transgress it. Which means to say that although they know, as what we just spoke about before, that the one who's cunning realizes you have to take the words of Torah slowly but surely. You can't do it at one time. That's someone that will retain his learning, but the Rabbanan know this, and they're over on it anyway. They continue learning and learning and learning, and they don't review, and therefore they don't retain, and they don't feel good about themselves. I did it. I gathered slowly but surely, and I reviewed everything, and I went step by step, what's called slow and steady, until I had it, and then I reviewed it, and then I would hear other things, and I retained my learning. So that's what's important. The person has to realize that he can't become the next, Talmud Chacham, the next Goyin. He has to do it slowly but surely, and learn, and review. And that takes us into the next Gemara, where the Gemara talks about this idea about a person has to review things at least four times to have just considered learning it once on some level. Talking about Linda Bryson. Ketzat say the Mishnah. What is the order of the Mishnah? In other words, how did Klal Yisrael learn the Torah Shabbat Peh? We know that the Torah was given two parts, Torah Shabbat Ksav, what was written, and Torah Shabbat Peh, which was given at Har Sinai also. How did Klal Yisrael have this, that was Amasur until it was finally written down? So the Brisa says, Moshe Laman Piagvra. Moshe learned it from Hashem. Then Aaron would come in, and he would sit in front of Moshe. As it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, that V'hoyu Enecha Reis Merecha, your eyes should see your teacher. In other words, it's not you don't just want to listen to the words of Torah that your teacher is teaching you, but you actually want to see him. And all those people that they would come in, it says that the idea was that they would sit in front of their teacher, they would look at him, hear him, and then they would move on, as the Gemara, as the Brisa says. So Aaron would come in, he would be sitting in front of Moshe, V'shonalei Moshe Perkei, Moshe would teach him his learning that he had heard from Hashem. Now, Nistalik Aaron, then after Aaron heard what he had to say, he would remove himself from in front of Moshe, but Yeshub L'smo Moshe, and he would go to the left of Moshe. And the reason is, as Rashi says, as the Brisa says, whoever goes to the right of his teacher, he's considered a boor, he's considered ignoramus, and for sure, that's talking about when you're walking with him, for sure regarding sitting. Therefore, if there's no one else over there that's sitting on his left, you shouldn't be on his right, you should be on his left. So Aaron would go to the left of Moshe. Then Nichnasu Banav. Then his sons of Aaron would come in. Bishan Lahan Moshe Pirk, and then Moshe would teach them their learning. In other words, that same thing that he had taught to Aaron, he went and taught it a second time, now to the sons of Aaron. The Stalku Banav, after they were done, they went out. They went to the sides. Elazar Yashub Leyumin Moshe. So Elazar would now there someone would have to be to the right and the left, because there's already one on the left. So Elazar would sit on the right of Moshe. Visamar Lismoil Aaron, and then the summer would go. Now he'd be on the left of Aaron, who was on the left of Moshe. Rabbi Yehuda Amir Rabbi says no. He says La'ilam Aaron Leyumin Moshe Chazer. After that, he had been sitting on the left side. Now when his two sons, Elazar and the summer came, now he would go to the right of Moshe. And that is after his sons heard, and now you're going to have one to the left of Moshe, so, and to the right of Moshe, you're going to have a second one. So now it's the covet for Aaron and Moshe, that Aaron, who's the greatest, should go ahead and sit now to the right of Moshe. So although he started with the left, he would go then to the right. Nichnasu Zikanim. Now the elders would come in. Bishan Lahan Moshe Pirkei, now Moshe would teach it to them. Nistalku Zikanim. Then the Zikanim, after they heard, they would go ahead and join the day, so to speak. Nichnasu Kalam, and then the whole entire nation would come in. Bishon and Moshe Pirkei, and then Moshe would teach them again the same learning. So the Brisa says, Nimtzu biyada Aaron arba. Comes it that Aaron heard it four times. Again, one by himself. Then after he went to the side of Moshe when his sons were there. And then when the Zikanim were there. And then when the whole entire nation was there. Biyad banav shlei. So the sons heard it three times. Ubiyad Zikanim shnayim. The elders heard it two times. Ubiyad kolam echad. And then the entire nation only had heard it one time. But then the process continued. Nistalik Moshe. Now Moshe left. Vishalan Aaron Pirkei. Now Aaron got up and he lectured that same teaching. Nistalik Aaron, then Aaron would leave. Shalan Banav Pirkei. Now his sons would lecture the same idea. Nistalik Banav, then his sons would leave. Shalan Zikanim Pirkei. Then the elders would teach the same idea. Nimtza Biyad HaKol Arba. Comes out that everybody heard the teaching four times. Because after they had the fourth time, then they would leave, and then the other ones would teach it. So everybody heard it four times. So Mekanam Rebbe Elazar, from the, this is where Rebbe Elazar teaches us, Chayev Adam Lashanes LeTamid Arba Pam. A person has to teach the teaching four times to his students, not enough one time, it has to be four times. Because Ma Aaron Shalom Pi Moshe, if you have Aaron Akoin that learned it from Moshe Rabbeinu, Umoshe Pi Agvor, now who did Moshe hear it from? He heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it would make sense that he would be able to convey it the best, that people should understand and not forget it, because he heard it straight from the source. Kach, yet in spite of that, Aaron had to hear it four times. So hedyid mipi hedyid, us, that we're hearing a commoner, in other words, not God, someone that heard from his Rebbe, heard from his Rebbe. Alachas kamav kamav, definitely has to be taught at least four times for it to be considered at least learned. Forget about chazara, which is something, a next level thing. B'kiva, I mean, B'kiva says, minayin shechayv odim l'shanes l'tamid ad shilamdenu. He says, similarly, how do you know that a person has to teach to his student until he learned it? It's not enough just to teach it to him and say, okay, I taught it to him. He has to have understood it and learned it. Shnelik says, a pasuk in Devarim, velamdes b'nei Yisrael. And you should teach it to the children of Yisrael. Again, not enough to just give it over, but they have to be loimited. Uminayin that should they stu b'fim. And how do you know until it's actually organized in their mouth that they could verbalize what you have taught them? Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, sima b'fihem, that it was placed in their mouth. That's what the pasuk over there says. Uminayin shechav laharis leipanma. How do you know that not only do you have to teach it to them, and not only that they have to have it on their lips, but that you have to show them some type of like a flavor, an understanding, an explanation in the words as much as you can. You don't just say, this is what I heard from my Rebbe, and you go ahead and understand on your own. No, you have to actually give them an explanation that they could understand. Shnimelik, it says in the pasuk, ve'elah ha-mishpatim, these are the judgments, ashatas mavim, that you should place in front of them. It doesn't say ashatalamdim, that you should teach them. It means you have to prepare and organize and put it. Tasim lavim, you have to put it in front of them, which means say something that makes sense. What do you mean? You're explaining to me something. It's something that I have to find favor, or else I'm going to have cognitive dissonance. It's not going to make sense to me. I'm not going to want to understand it. You have to give me a reason why. That's ashatasim lavim. But then the Gemara asks, regarding that process that the Brisa spoke about, that they would do Aaron, Moshe, Aaron, everyone would give a chance teaching. But Veligmar Kulim and Moshe, let everybody learn from Moshe. If everyone had to learn four times, why do you have to do it in this way that Moshe would teach four times, but to different stages, and then Aaron would teach? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu teach to everybody four times? So the Gemara answers, because they lachle kaval Aaron, so to delegate, so to speak, some type of honor to Aaron, Ubanim and his sons, Ukovel his kingdom, and honor to elders. So therefore they did it in that way, that not only did Moshe teach, but Aaron taught, Aaron's sons taught, and the Zikanim taught. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the reason, B'nail Aaron, let Aaron go, B'nigma mi Moshe, and let him learn from Moshe four times. V'la'ilu banav v'ligma Aaron. Then let his sons go ahead and learn from Aaron four times. V'la'ilu zekein v'ligma banav. Now let the elders go learn from his sons four times. V'lezer v'ligma Aaron l'kul Yisrael. Let them go teach Klal Yisrael now four times. Why did everyone have to learn from everyone four times? Why did it have to have that process that Moshe Rabbeinu would be teaching everyone at least one time? Why don't he teach, I let it go in that hierarchy, four times, four times, four times? And that the Gemara says, then no. Even the Moshe Mepiah Gvur Gama, since Lamaisa, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the only one, he learned from HaKadosh Baruch from the source, Mistaye Milsa, it's going to help on some level. And therefore, everybody had to hear at least one time from Moshe, therefore it had to be in that way, 4-3-2-1, and then everyone would get there, 4-3-2-1, and therefore it would end up everybody being four times, but it had to be everyone at least one time hearing from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the one who heard it from Hashem himself. So the Gemara says, Amar, we said before, Rabbi Huda says, La'ilam Aaron li min Moshe Chesed, that although Aaron started off to the left, because it's not proper to sit to the right of your Rebbe, but once there were more people coming and you would be splitting up, you can't have everybody on one side, Moshe not, because Moshe is going to be on the edge. He has to be in the middle. So someone's going to go to the right, so then Aaron would go ahead and switch from the left to the right, and then the Lazar and Summer would come, one on the right of Aaron and one on the left of Moshe Ben. So, Kaman Oz Lahad Tanya. So that was Rabbi Huda's statement. So who is this that says the Brisa as follows? If there's three people going on the road, Harav Be'emtza, the teacher, he's in the middle. The Gadol Be'emina, the greater one of the two students, are on his right, which in this equivalent would be Aaron. Katam Mismaile, and the smaller one would be on the left. So Lamer Rabbi Huda, Hebel Rabban, should we say that Brisa is like Rabbi Huda, not like Rabban? Because Rabban say that, no, Aaron would stay on the left. And Rabbi Huda is the one that says, no, he goes to the right. So you see that the greater one does go to the right. And then the Gemara says, "Now, Philotim Rabban, you could say that Tana, that Brisa are the Rabban. But Mishum the Tercha Aaron, it's just because of the exertion, the effort for Aaron. And that is because when Aaron was the only one there, it wasn't proper that he should go to the right. He had to go to the left. Now, when the others come in, it's a Tercha of him to have to get up and go to the right. So therefore, he would stay on the left. But of course, if they're coming at one time and one's going to be on the right, one's on the left, yes, the greater one goes to the right. And then Aaron, of course, would go to the right. But since he started off on the left, he stays over there. Now the Gemara brings an incredible story, a very well-known Gemara regarding the same idea about Chazara, but we're talking about an unbelievable amount of Chazara. Repreda, Havalehahu Tamid, they had a certain student, the Havatonile Arba Meizim, he would teach him 400 times, that is every single thing that he taught him, he would teach him 400 times before he got it, and then he would finally learn it. One day they requested of Repreda, they needed him for something, maybe some type of askana, something. They need him to go for a dvar mitzvah, a mitzvah purpose somewhere. So Tani Levele Gomer, he taught his student 400 times, and guess what? He didn't even get it now. So he says, what's going on? Why is this time different? I understand 400 times a lot of time, but you usually get it. Why is today different? So from that moment, that I saw someone came and whispered to you and said that you have a mitzvah thing that you have to go to, I couldn't focus anymore. Every moment I kept on thinking, oh, now he's going to get up, now he's going to get up, and I couldn't focus properly because I thought you were leaving. It was not that undivided attention on my part. So Amalei, have daitich, v'asim. Let's say, okay, focus, and I'm going to teach it to you. He went and he taught it to him another 400 times. Nafka baskala, v'amale. A baskala, a heavenly voice emanated from Shemayim and spoke to Rav Preda and said, I'm giving you a choice. Do you want to have another 400 years to live? Again, obviously we're talking about because the 400 times, it gets the 400 more 400 additional years of his life. Or do you want that you and your whole entire generation will merit the world to come? So Amrei said, "The Niska no v'dor la'amadasi. I want me and my entire generation to merit the world to come." So I'm like, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Tnu lo izuvazu. Give him this one and that one. Give him another 400 years to his life, and him and his entire generation will merit the world to come." So Amrei Chizda, "Ein Torah niknas ela b'simanim. The words of Torah can only be acquired by using signs, and that is different, and as we had mentioned on Amud Aleph, that to remind someone with mnemonics, for example, that many times we find throughout Shas, that it says Simon and it says the different names of the Talmid Chacham that are going to say the following statements, a person has to use a mnemonic to remind himself that he can retain information. There's a lot of data. He has to use simonim. How do we know that that's what's necessary for the words of Torah? Like it says the Pasuk in Devarim. It says, Sima b'fihem, you should place it in their mouths. Now, Al Tikri Sima, don't read it placing, Ela Simna. Rather, a sign, although there's extra nun, but the idea is the simo, you put signs, that will be placing their girsa in their mouths. How? How is that befiim? That's by using a simon, by using signs, by using mnemonics. These things remind the person about how to remember his learning. That's how we see the importance of a simon. So Shamar Rav Tachlifa Mimarava, so Rav Tachlifa from the West, when he heard this, that this was their source for saying that you have to make simon to remind yourself about your learning, Azal Amr Kamid Rav, he went and said this over in front of Rav Avo. So Amr, he said, Rav Avo said, Atun Mihasam Asnidullo, you learned this idea that you have to make simon of a Torah from that pasuk, and then Mahocham Asnidullo, we have a different source from it, a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Hatzivilach Tziyunim, you should set up for yourself signs, Simulach, you should place Bibugam, etc., that we see that a person should make signs for himself for the words of Torah, which is Asu Tziyun Latar, make Tziyun, make signs for Torah. Now he says, my mashmad, I Tziyun Lishna Disimanuhu. How do I know that the word Tziyun means signs? The Chassid says the pasuk in Yecheskel, V'ra Etzim Adam, that when you'll see the bone of a man, Uvana Etzloi Tziyun, and then you'll make a sign next to it. In other words, because there's Tumma where a person is buried, so you see that the word Tziyun means sign, so therefore when it says that you should set up for yourself Tziyunim, signs, it means that if you want to retain the words of learning, you have to make signs for yourself to remember, oh, that's that and that and that, and that's how you remember the proper words of the Torah. Rabbi Loza Amar Mahacher, Rabbi Loza gives a different source. He brings a pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Emor lachachma, tell wisdom, Achaisiat, you're my sister, Umoyde labina tikra, and call understanding as a relative, the same idea, that to have some type of a relationship with the words of Torah. But he learns it as, Aisa meidoim latar. You should make signs for the words of Torah. That's his source for saying that umayda, it should have a meidah, it should have like a sign for the words of Torah that reminds you, oh, that sign means that, and that's how he retains his words of Torah. Rav Amar Rav gives a different understanding of that pasuk that he just brought. Asay meyadim latar. Make set times for Torah. In other words, like you should be kaveya itim for your students that they know when to come and learn. You should make designated times that people are there, first Seder, second Seder, and that's how a person can have the words of Torah. If there's designated times, people know when to come and learn. We continue on top of Nun Heimad Aleph. V'hainu da'amar avdimi barcham bardeis. And then the Gemara finally concludes everything we spoke about in the previous daf. And this is what avdimi barcham bardeis had said, that yeah, a person has to put in the effort, and he has to make signs, mnemonics, and he has to be cunning with all different types of ways so that the words of Torah should be retained by him. This is what Rav Avdimi said when he explained the diuk of the pasuk that says that, he says it as follows. He says, Ma'idav said, what does it mean the pasuk in Devarim? Loi b'shamayim, it's not in the heavens. V'loi me'ev lo yamhi, and the words of Torah are not across the sea. What is that saying? That means to say, loi b'shamayim, it's not in the heavens, because she'im b'shamayim, because she'im b'shamayim, had it been in the heavens, at the tzarech la'al sachar, you would have to go and follow after it. V'im evel yami, had it been across the seas, at the tzarech la'al sachar, you would have to. The Hashem is saying, don't worry, it's not. What do you mean saying? Because or else you would have to go that far. A person would have to do what it takes. You would have to climb the heavens to get there. That's what the idea of all our previous Gemara is saying. It's very difficult and challenging, but you have to do what it takes to acquire the words of Torah. A different explanation in that pasuk that was just brought, Rav Amar Rav says, Loi b'shamayim hi. It's not in the heavens. What does that mean? That regarding the words of Torah, you're not going to find the words of Torah by someone that holds himself so great like the heavens. And you're also not going to find somebody that he's so broad in his self like the sea. And a person has to be humble, not in the heavens, not as great as the sea. And only those type of people will you find the words of Torah. Finally, the Gemara concludes that similarly, Rabbi Yechon Omar, Lei b'shamayim hi. It's not in the heavens. You're not going to find it by those people that are haughty, that are so full of themselves. But you're not going to find it by across the seas, which means you're not going to find it by the merchants, which they go from city to city. And not by the peddlers, and this is the people that they go across the city, they go to different places. Rather, it's like Rashi said that it's near vein and near, as we said in the previous daf, that this type of person, he's not out there on the seas full of merchandise and peddler. These are the people that you see. Rather, he's not so seen. He's busy learning and reviewing his learning. Those are the people that you're going to find at Loi b'shamayim, not by the Balagaiva, not by the people that are busy out there. Those are the people that require the words of Torah.